Welcome to A Course in Miracles. It's so, so important that we make our spiritual work personal. You know, this book has a lot of words in it, and there's a lot of other books with a lot of words in it, and they can draw you away from yourself. And you can sort of, it feels good if you have troubles in your mind to escape into maybe some writing and teaching. And the good part is that it can help wake you up and get you out of your stinking thinking. The bad part is it's another way to hide from the work you have to personally do for your awakening, so you're free. Very, very personal, this work that we do, we must do. And, you know, if you make it, if you get too far away from the very personal journey that you must make, then when you personally get in trouble, like with stress or anger or fear, you don't have any tools, because where's your book when you need it? Where's your teaching when you, where's your teaching or teacher when you need it? When it's very, very personal. A Course in Miracles is very well aware of this. And it's also sometimes more practical for you to work with somebody else and try to help somebody else rather than yourself. And you gain strength from helping others. You all know this is true. Some of your greatest moments of your life is when you actually stood down and you stood up for somebody else. Those are some of the greatest moments of your life. And I can speak for all of you because I know this is true of the human condition. When you were selfless for a moment and you said, I'm going to help this person, and you recognize that their happiness was key to your happiness. When you recognize that, you touched love. You know it's true, what I'm saying. But still, be careful. So many teachings would have you continue this charity work as a way to save yourself. A Course in Miracles is more practical than that for you. What good if the whole world is saved and you are lost? What good is that? So we have to really be very personal. Mostly so that when you get in trouble next time and your life goes dark or it goes red, with the, you know, the wrong color shows up, you have something a personal strength that's not outside you. It is you that you can rely on. This is your spiritual awakening. You know it's in, right? Spiritual is in. Religion is kind of out. What am I supposed to do? How do I do it right? This is spiritual. How do I find strength within? If there is God, if there is love, If there is joy, if happiness indeed is my function, if happiness is my purpose, which this book says it is, where is it when I'm unhappy? You might say. That's a pretty fair question, and I think you should ask it every time. So that's what we do here, is we go in. We find the strength that's in you, that's built into you. We find that, we discover it, we celebrate it, we share it, study it, and live it. So, tonight, we're going to look at this oh-so-obvious block to the awareness of love's presence. This oh-so-present, obvious, personal thing that you carry around and use to separate yourself from love. It's the body. We have to look at the body again tonight. We're in a part of the book that's called the Temple to the Holy Spirit. But you know, most of the book is about your addiction to your unholy spirit and your temple to the ego. That's what most of the book is about. As the book says, You don't have to seek and find love. No, if the truth is true and there is love, then it's everywhere all the time. So that's not your job, to seek and find love. No. Your job is to simply seek and find all the barriers you put in between yourself and the love that's already here waiting for you to harvest and to express. That's your job. Find out how you're messing it up with your own power of freedom. And you're misusing your power to block love instead of spread love and know love. Experience love. Share love. Your chief tool that you become very addicted to, your body. You know, when you look in the mirror, that what you see, you wave, it waves back, that one. It seems directly connected. It must be true. That must be true. I don't know about all this words and this all spiritual stuff, but man, I look in the mirror and the person waves back. That's me. Proved. Proven. Proof. Immediate. See how immediate that is? You can't argue with that. We can say what this is supposed to mean and hope you get it. If you look in the mirror, the ego has immediate proof of who you are, what you are. That's what you're up against. That's what the spiritual journey is up against. Is this physical proof that is really hard to go against. And what happens when it hurts? Or hurts a lot? What happens when you hurt? Man, the body now hurts. And it's talking to you through pain. How can you switch to a spiritual experience when the physical experience has got you right in the sciatica? Well, this is... Or how about your heart? Do you ever, your heart hurt sometime? You get disappointed about something that shoulda, coulda, woulda happened and didn't, or happened too much, or is it now? One of those things where your heart hurts? That's the kind of thing that doesn't go away like maybe the sciatica does, because you wake up in the morning and the sciatica may not be there, but then this little sorrow might be there of something from years ago. Why did that come from? What's that pain up here that feels down here? What is that? Where does that come from? Pains of the body. These are blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And when you feel with the body, it's so immediate, it's so strong, because you are in the domain of the body in time and space, the world. Of Course in Miracles says there's two levels. The teaching is foundationally described around two levels. One level is a physical, the other level is spiritual. But that's it. There's no in-between and there's no neutral. You are either supporting the material physical experience, or you are freeing yourself in the spiritual invisible experience. There is no in-between. There is no coasting. There is no waiting. That never happens. Oh, thank goodness, right? It's so simple this way. It also means progress is right there with your next thought. Always. Always. You're never left comfortless, and you're never too far away from the witness to what did you choose already. You're never too far away from knowing what did you choose already. Did you choose the material, which I point down? Or did you choose the spiritual, which I point up? That's because a smile points up and a frown points down. It's that simple. It's that simple. This is the only guide you need. Are you at peace? Do you feel like smiling? This is enough. Do you feel like frowning? This is enough to show you what you must do. If you feel like frowning, you're going down. You're in the world of the body. It's designed to do that. It's not a sin. It's just what was designed in this domain to be more material. And the farthest down you can go is death, where you that's part of the design here. But somehow, some way, you have found a light in you that defies the darkness that seems to come at you every day. Anyway, somehow there is a light in you that says there is another way. There is this, we'll call it spiritual for now. That is not the body. In fact, the body is the opposite. The idea that you are that which you see in the mirror is the perfect opposition to the spiritual awareness. It's perfect. It's not even that it's a good one. No, it's the perfect way not to see the spirit and not to know your true self. It's perfect. You did it. You did great. And here you are, living in those bounds. So I just want us to take a couple of minutes, and I want you to think about this body that you are sitting in, and I want you to think about it as separate from you. Is that even possible? Well, let's find out. Take a deep breath. This is a good time for you to call your body to attention, because it's going to serve you, serve your mind. Your body's going to serve your mind. You used your body to drive the car, get on the bus, or walk the street and get yourself down to this barn studio and come through the door and find a pillow. You used your body. You used your body. Your body, all along the way, said, okay. Okay. And all right. And let me see what I can do. And okay, got it. Your body just did whatever you said. Are you your body? Are you your body? We must ask this question very honestly. You may have studied spirituality for many years and you already have an answer preset for this question. But you must ask it again honestly with beginner's mind tonight. Are you your body? And now, pick something, just a word or a phrase, just to get us all on the same page. Be very practical. Pick something that your body now, does for you. Something your body does for you that you like. This is never discussed in spiritual meetings. We always zip off, or in the spiritual meeting, we zip off into something invisible. And then you have to go live with your body and do what you practically do. I love Course in Miracles because it's so practical. Jay, what's something you like so your body serves you? How does your body serve you? Anything?
Petting my dogs.
Yes.
Going for a walk on the beach with my dogs. Just the whole relationship with my dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Petting your dogs.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful moment. I think we all petted our animals. There's a give and a receive that happens instantaneously there. Happens with the body. Beautiful. Yeah. Cecilia, what's something your buddy does for you?
Besides petting my dog.
I know, good one, huh?
Swimming. Huh? I think swimming. I like being in water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Swimming.
I feel really happy and peaceful and feels like I'm flying.
Wow.
Weightless.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Experience of flying.
And then I have my breath coordinating with my
swim. Oh, you're a good swimmer.
Stroke, so I feel free.
Ha! Mm-hmm. A way to feel free. That you can just turn on by getting in the water.
Yeah.
And it's waterproof, more or less. That's great. How convenient is that? Just does what you need.
Yeah, because there's no gravity, really.
Oh, wow. Just... remove some of the limits that you'd have normally.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The body can do just that. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. Get that, you have a spiritual connection. Like doing something like some sport activity.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it could be connected to your who you really are.
There is nothing in this world that can't be used by the Holy Spirit to translate into a spiritual analogy or reality or reflection. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. So, yes. Emily.
I
flute
with my body.
Ha. So you command the body to breathe through a stick. And out comes beauty.
Sometimes.
Oh, sometimes. Yes, command the body, and this pattern of sound comes out. And sometimes it lifts your heart with beauty. Mm-hmm. And when it doesn't come out nice, it calls for the beauty to try it again, because your mind knows the potential of the beauty. What a nice little exercise. Harnessing your body. And it will do as you ask. Did you notice that the body doesn't actually know how to play the flute? It doesn't play when you're sleeping. It never has. You would have to actually organize have that flute thing work out. Coordinate, organize, lift. You have to blow in the correct end, put your fingers in the right place. The body doesn't know anything about, actually, how to play the flute. Ali.
What was going through my mind was actually letting myself be in a moment. Because I'm constantly on a go.
Yes.
And my brain's always going.
Yes. Good.
So actually being able to be here at the moment and concentrating on my inner self.
Yes.
As like I appreciate my body allowing me to kind of do that.
Yes. I like the way you said that. Because in here, we make a distinction between brain, the word you used, and mind. Brain is part of your body, and it can go to the Costco list, get the car fixed, you know, all these things on and on. Pick up the kids. Did you get the kids today? Did you even remember to get the kids today? Oh, the brain will just go nuts with all these things.
Oh yeah.
The mind is something to be aware of as different from the brain. So I like the way you said that. When you do exercises such as meditation, such as a mantra, maybe it's swimming, maybe it's playing the flute, maybe it's counting to 10 or counting sheep. When you do an exercise to quiet the brain, there is a reward. Spaciousness is born. And you can feel it. And by contrast, it feels pretty darn good. Thank you. Yes. Kenny.
Yes.
What is something that your body, how your body serves you?
My body keeps me alive.
Alive?
Mm-hmm. Alive.
Yeah. What's one aspect about Alive that you like?
I can walk around and do things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gives me tools.
Interact.
Mm-hmm. Move around.
Yes.
So I don't fall and crack my head open.
It could do that too.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good at not doing that. Yeah, to interact, to be. To be alive. To be alive. This is not a sin here, being here. In fact, it can be really fun.
Yeah.
If your brain doesn't get in the way, it's a lot of fun. Yes. Good. Bridget, what's something, how your body serves you?
The five senses.
Ha.
You know, smelling,
yeah.
Seeing.
Yes.
Hearing.
Ha.
Touch.
Yes. Yes.
The seeing the beauty of a flower or
yeah.
Seeing an animal, you know, and the ability of that physicalness of that animal.
Yeah.
Interactions, I guess, of nature.
Yes.
Grass growing, animal eats the grass.
Yes.
Lives. We yes. Eat the animal.
Yeah.
Weird thing.
A full experience of sight, sound, smell, touch. And when you touch the horse, is it sweating or not? Is it hot? You're going to know. Mm-hmm. How hot? You're going to know. I mean, it's rich that way. Oh, yeah. That's nice.
And food.
Taste.
Food.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Mark, what's something your body does for you?
Sleeping.
Sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole experience requires the body.
Right. And I don't have any choice.
Yeah, it turns out it's part of the design. Science is still searching to find out why exactly what we do with sleep, how we use sleep. It seems like the whole thing should be doable in 15 minutes and while you're awake. If you were just relaxing some, why do we sleep? They wonder. So there's a lot of questions around that. Why we sleep this hours and hours.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you can take a nap and just, like, close your eyes for 10 seconds and then be awake and be refreshed.
Yep.
So that's weird, but that can happen.
Yep. It is, yeah. I've learned how to do that. I do 18-minute power naps. 18's the right number. Wow. Yeah, the body does that. Holds the brain. Allows the mind to play in that environment of sleep.
Or hibernation. Why things go into hibernation for months.
And months.
Don't have to do bodily functions.
Don't have to defecate. Actually, something happens down there, closes that up. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. There's the body can do all these crazy things so that you can sleep. Yeah, the world of sleep wherein we dream. Another world, isn't it?
Yeah. So when you're talking about the body doing things that you enjoy on its own, you're talking about, I think there's a difference between something that happens automatically and then there's something that you choose to do.
Yes.
So the spiritual realm is something that you choose to access.
Yes.
It doesn't happen. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's people where it kind of automatically happens to them. They don't seek it.
How about beating your heart?
Yeah, like your heart beating.
You know? Everybody remember to beat your heart while he was talking? I hope so. No, nobody had to do that.
No, but it could feel good to sit there and relax and feel the sensations in your body.
Yes.
And that's something that can feel good.
Yes.
If you're aware of it.
Yes.
And that you don't have to think about that really.
Mm-hmm.
But the part about the spiritual part is something that feels good, but it's not something that happens as a result of your body just kind of doing its thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're going to talk.
It's independent of that.
Yeah, we're going to see what the Course has to say about that in practical terms here, because there are wonderful things where the body feels good. Maybe it's chocolate. That's enough, right? We each have a list of our favorite But a good dark chocolate, yeah. How about a little espresso bean in the chocolate? Oh, what are you doing here? Great. Yeah. Yes, but we're gonna look at that a little bit tonight. Yeah. Deborah, what's something your body does for you that you like?
Allows me to experience nature through my senses.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so that you are a direct witness to nature. Direct witness. Not reading in a book. Not a picture. Your body gives you direct witness to nature and life. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, what's something your body does for you?
I like what everybody said. I like Kenny's even. It gives me life. But the thing that I like that my body does the most is when I feel an emotional pain of some sort,
mm-hmm.
and it comes out as a, in my case, it comes out as a tight stomach,
uh-huh.
rather than a heart problem.
Yes.
If I go there, I can discover the core of what is causing that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I discover that, it allows me to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And when I let it go, then I understand that I'm not my body. My body can give me information,
mm-hmm.
but the letting go is the part that I get out of it.
Because the letting go has a release quality to it, and then you can compare when you are hanging on and it looked like this,
mm-hmm.
to after you let go and it looked like this.
Yeah.
One feels like this, the other one feels like this. That contrast makes you a witness to the power of your mind.
Exactly.
It's wonderful!
Yeah.
The body gives you a view of you.
And by the way, about the mirror. When
yes?
I look in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
I wrote lipstick, God is but love, and therefore so am I. That's
all right.
What I see, what I look in my
nicely done. A little message all the time.
Yeah,
excellent.
All the time. But the other thing the body does is allows me to, it's really related.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't have a problem, since I've been studying the book,
mm-hmm.
I can get to that place of knowing I'm not my body because something else is there. Something that doesn't have anything to do with my body is there. Whether I'm thinking through my body or whether I'm just not thinking at all, it's there.
It's there.
Yeah, and then I have a physical proof of that.
Yes.
Okay, I have this structure here.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing all the time. Every single DNA molecule, every single molecule.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't change.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if it's changing all the time, it can't be me.
Nicely done. It's very, very good pursuit. Are you your body?
I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I was me when I was 3 and 11.
Same!
Yeah, but my body isn't the same.
The body's not the same, but you.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like physical proof I'm not my body.
It's proof. Conrad, what's something your body does for you? How does it serve you?
Does physical activity, like recreation, where part of my body meets up a ball in time and space, and so I enjoy that, and I don't quite know how it does the movements.
Ah.
It's like, you know, reactionary.
This is great. Yes, that the body has the ability to answer your desire to catch the ball that's arcing through the air. It's not even come to you yet, and your hand is waiting for it over here? What?
Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand. It's like ping pong, and I don't watch the ball right to the paddle, like it's going, and I don't know how it meets the ball.
Yes, 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 yes. Interesting coordination. It's invisible. The ball hasn't hit the paddle yet, but something about you knows, has a sense of what is going to happen. So in a way, you're a little out of time and out of space with your imagination. Somehow your body is taken over and sees things that you're not trying, you're not laboring over. It actually has this sixth sense.
Yeah. And the great part is the first episode, I'm not thinking about anything else.
Yes.
It frees my mind too.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. One of the reasons why this is so important for us is that when you're communicating with a loved one and you really are present, you're actually undefended and you're communicating openly, your body, like his hand with the paddle ball on ping pong, is automatically showing openness with your eyebrows high instead of low. Your shoulders are dropped instead of hunched. Your body automatically knows and is working with this complex communication environment with a loved one. And oh, thank goodness, it can communicate better than you can. And also, it's very hard to lie. Thank goodness, really. With the body, right? It's the truth coming out. You don't want to say it? Well, your body said it. And the other person is showing you that your body said it.
Like a tell when you're playing poker.
Like a tell, exactly. Yes, yes. So indeed, the body expresses your intention. Sometimes beyond what you could, if you had to really draw it out. Yeah, yeah, beautiful, beautiful. For me, my body slows everything down. If it was just my mind, I would do summary judgment and wrap it all up and then try to go on to something else. I would miss so much of the texture of what it means. Yeah. Okay, let's look at a few key quotes in this book. Let's see, first one, because we mentioned it during the early on, I just want you to take a look at this wonderful page 338, paragraph 6, in the front of the book. And Ali, the book, the page number start over 3 or 4 times.
Oh, okay. Well,
but there's a couple of books sewn into one.
Oh, got it.
So I'll say, you know, just front of the book, back of the book, middle of the book. So front of the book, page 338. I just want you to see this because it's one of my favorite things. It sort of summarizes Course in Miracles in a sentence. Jay, would you read for us paragraph 6? And the first sentence is the key one, but the whole paragraph is so beautiful.
Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes. And the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
Thank you, Jay.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. We finally found a good paragraph. I just want
several.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you like this book.
How many paragraphs are in the book?
I only know the word count. I don't know the paragraph count.
Somebody ought to count.
Yeah.
I kind of did. I figured out where we're going to be in 2000.
Did you? You can pretty much forecast. It is a paragraph a night. You can pretty much forecast.
I figure I'm too old to finish this book in the class.
Don't worry, I'll pick up the most critical ones that you need before you go.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Sentence one, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against love. Yes. So, this is an inside job, folks. There is nothing you need to do outside in the world.
That's right.
It's an inside job. Well, That's something you can do. You can't really fix the world. In fact, you can't fix the world. But you can fix the way you look at the world. And this will heal your mind. This will bring your heart alive. This will bring you back to the ability to love.
So I have a problem.
Yep.
I'll tell you what my problem is.
Just one.
She's down to one. It's great.
One right now, Mark.
Okay.
I have one every other minute. Second. So, you know my neighbor?
Yep.
Well, I have done a lot of forgiveness efforts towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a lot calmer and peaceful when I think of him now than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
However, my brother has sold video things for homes and stuff, and he introduced me to a guy who's selling a system. And the thing is going to cost me over $3,000 if I do what they say I need to do to be able to see what the guy is doing to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is still doing things on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me says, you know, if I love him, why am I worried about what he's going to do? If he's innocent, why am I worried about what he's going to do? Why am I looking into a video system when I'm really safe? So I don't know how to. So it feels to me like I'm fighting against the part of me that wants to only love and trust.
Oh, sure. That's Miracle Principle 12. If you want to look and see what she's dealing with, we'll come right back to this page. Hold your finger on this page. We're going to come right back. But Luann is currently going through what we affectionately call a level confusion. Watch out for level confusion. Miracle Principle 12 is the first place where this is hit. Right in front of the book on page, very front of the book on page 3.
Okay, got it.
Page 3.
Got it.
Which is about 20 pages in, because there's preface and contents and... Look at the bottom of that page.
I'm so glad it has a name. Name's always things easier.
Well, yeah, because that's what you're doing. It's obvious confusion occurs
right
when you have level confusion. So would you read for that, Luann? Read for us number 12.
Miracles are thoughts. Thoughts can represent the lower or bodily level of experience, or the higher or spiritual level of experience. One makes the physical and the other creates the spiritual.
Yeah, and so this whole idea of a miracle is that we go from a material focus to a spiritual awareness. But they don't mix. Some thoughts create the physical. They're physical. You don't make them spiritual. They're physical.
Right.
Other thoughts, the invisible ones, they're spiritual. They're spiritual. You don't make those physical. How silly. You would be grounding it, making it smaller, limiting it. If you make a thought like, let me just pick one. How about trust? If you take trust, which is spiritual, and try to make it physical, what does your trust look like? How about patience? What does your patience look like? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Is that patient?
You could make trust like, I trust that all cars on the street are not going to hit me because every person has love. That would be like another form.
We'd have to measure it, yeah, and we'd have to start boxing it and decide what's reasonable for cars to hit me or not hit me. Was it your fault? Do you deserve to be hit?
Right.
We just way outside of the invisible spiritual experience of trust is gone, because now we found a way to break it. Mm-hmm. And you're worried about that now.
That's what I feel like
I'm doing. Yes, exactly. But you have mixed your infinite love for anybody and everybody with your practical limit of protecting your house and security system and your neighbor. I always like to say, to summarize it this way, to be a good spiritual practitioner and somebody's swinging a 2x4 toward you, duck.
Yeah.
This is good. This is what I want to pass on to you to help be helpful. Yes. Because that's the material level. Duck. Now, A Course in Miracles said...
That makes me want to cry.
Well, you know the work you have to do. A Course in Miracles also has it in one short little sentence. And it says, your brother is always right. Isn't that call in your heart and the love, the compassion in you? Your brother is always right, comma, but his ego is always wrong.
Yeah.
What I need to do then is separate the love I have from my neighbor from what he's going to probably be doing.
You must, because I think it's in this very paragraph we're reading. It is.
Go back to
page 338 and look at this work that Luann has to do. We all have to do this, of course, right? She's just speaking for us. She's speaking out loud for us. Look at paragraph 6 and look at sentence 5. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of that hatred within.
I have that line double underlined.
Good, because this is part of the work that you must do. If
I'm not
you
really
seek.
Seeking love from him. I'm just wanting to love him.
This is seeking love.
It is?
Yes, you want to love him, but you can't because he keeps, throwing rocks through your window.
I feel like I do love him, but I just...
Except for the rock part. That gets in the way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's my problem.
Yes. Yes?
I think of the rock part, it feels like just a thing.
Uh-huh.
When I think of him, I think of him as something I could love.
Uh-huh.
I do love.
Yeah, good. Well, this is your path to awakening. He's going to serve as long as you need to be as your teacher. Mm-hmm. And keep challenging you to find the part of him that's always right. But recognize the part of him that's always wrong. This you must learn to separate. You must learn to become practical and at peace with where you find yourself. This is the key. Every coin has two sides, right? The top side, the bottom side. Don't be looking at the edge. Two sides of the coin.
Okay, so then if I were going to say that he was my teacher mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. this is what just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
If he's my teacher, then what he's teaching me is that he is of love, like I am mm-hmm. in the mirror.
Uh-huh, right.
And he has an ego. And so do I.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he swings 2x4s.
And he swings 2x4s, and I try not to.
You should duck when he swings a 2x4. I mean, that's reasonable.
Okay.
But don't hate.
Just duck.
Yeah. Yeah, but you must not give up knowing that he is always right.
So I need to feel guilty about the fear that I might have that he might do something in the future.
No. To your body? Let's learn more about that. Turn to page 425 in the workbook now. Go to the back of the book and look for page 425.
Oh, we've been over this one a few times.
Oh, yeah. You bet we have. Yeah, last year we did a big section on the body.
At the top I have... The Holy Spirit knows only love, but it's Jesus living the dream.
But, right.
So, what is this? Lesson 260, and then it starts over again?
After lesson 260, well, you haven't got here yet in the workbook.
Right.
In part 2 in the workbook, there are 14 single pages that are called instructions.
Uh-huh.
And there, what is a miracle? What is a body? What is a second coming? What is it? And what
it's like an inset text almost.
It's an inset text.
Yeah.
That's a technical writer. They are setting you up for the next 10 lessons.
Yeah.
So the 10 lessons that follow this one, Jesus wants you to plant this suggestion in your mind before you do the lesson.
I see.
Each of those 10 days.
Got it.
That's what that is. But for our purposes, they're kind of handy discussions on these topics. And also, I have a CD, by the way, that has just these definitions, and it's great for when you're driving. Or I just read you these for you. The 14 terms is what it's called. It's on the website. There's also a download if you're an MP3 kind of person. Okay, now let's read this. And Cecilia, would you start for us, paragraph one?
The body.
Mm-hmm.
The body's offense, the Son of God imagines he has built to separate parts of his self from other parts. It is within this fence he lives, he thinks he lives, to die as it decays and crumbles. From within this fence he thinks that he is safe from love. Identifying with his safety, he regards himself as what his safety is. How else could he be certain he remains within the body, keeping love outside?
So by now, you have come over 1,000 pages in A Course in Miracles. So the word love has a different meaning than it does in the dictionary. The word body is understood to be what it represents. And so these words make a lot more sense when you've been studying the book for a while.
So the Son of God is us.
Yes.
And then when it refers to he in here, that's he with a small h, meaning that the he is our ego-based self.
Yeah, the sleeping Son of God.
Yeah.
The Son of God is your truth, and the lowercase is your imagined self.
Yes.
That uses, that sits inside the body and looks in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, let's continue.
The body will not stay.
Uh-oh, period. Isn't that sobering? We know that.
Yeah.
But isn't it personal? When this beautiful book that's supposed to lift you and bring you happiness and love and joy throughout your whole life and every thought, and even in your sleeping dreams, your mind will go to ease. It is true. It says the body will not stay. Like, yeah. Well, please continue.
Yet this he sees as double safety.
Mm-hmm.
For the Son of God's impermanence is proof, his fences work and do the task his mind assigns to them. For if his oneness still remained untouched, who could attack and who could be attacked? Who could be victor? Who could be his prey? Who could be victim? Who the murderer? And if he did not die, what proof is there that God's eternal Son can be destroyed?
You see, this is very important to the ego, that we have somebody to blame. That there's victims and victimizers, and that you were unfairly treated. And you would never do such a thing. And this way you can sort of relieve yourself a little bit to think somebody else is bad, or that there's wrong and there's right. Even for yourself, that you call yourself guilty and then feel some righteousness from catching yourself. Oh, it's so complex. But you really need to have a victim and a victimizer. You need to have a good and a bad. And the body is a perfect hero of that dream where you can lose. Perfect for guilt, for anger, for earning somebody's favor. Did you sacrifice and now you deserve love? Is that what you did? Body's perfect for that struggle. It doesn't want to lose this idea that the body can be harmed, because it uses it. It buys forgiveness. It buys favor. It buys charity. Did you give up your vacation and go build something in South Africa? Is that what you did with your vacation? And when you, because you did that, you earned a few points somewhere with your body? Well, if there's infinite oneness, all of that dream goes away. This is how sobering this paragraph is.
What does this mean, though? It says, the body will not stay, meaning that it's impermanent. Yet this he sees as double safety. I don't understand.
Yeah, he, the ego, the sleeping son of God,
yeah,
sees this as double safety. First of all, I have a body. Yeah. I'm a separate individual. And so I deserve specialness. And since the body dies, and I am my body, says the ego, I don't have to pay attention to truth or love or God. I don't have to care about you. I'm dying. You're dying. We're all dying. It's over. Before it even got started.
Damn.
Isn't death the fact? Isn't death the fact? The hell with all these pretty spiritual words. Isn't death more true than anything else? Says the body. You better pay attention to the death. Forget love. What about death? Prevent death. And then see if there's anything left over for love. Says the ego.
It should say it just like you said. That would be so much easier.
It'd be a huge book, right? Yeah, isn't this amazing what's in these paragraphs? It just blows my mind how much is in this book.
So from what you said and what this said, then that means since we're not the body and we have that miracle of knowing we're not the body once in a while.
Yep.
That really instant kind of a miracle.
Yes, indeed.
That we're not going to die.
Uh-huh.
And that's really, that we, who we really are, is not going to ever leave.
Yes.
And so then the book is trying to say, if we can get to a place where we completely know that, not just think it, but know it.
Yep.
Then God, love, will bring us to itself.
Yes, you would see love everywhere already.
Yeah.
There would be no transportation.
Okay.
Except the feeling of this openness. But you would see love everywhere. Translation occurs.
Because all you would see was the mind of everybody else also.
Even in what looks like attack and harm and blood and death, you would see through it.
That our mind is permanent.
It's awake.
It's awake.
It's awake.
Right.
Rather than sleeping and dreaming of death and fear and loss.
Sounds like The Matrix.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All day long, baby. That's right. That's waiting for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's more.
The body is a dream. Like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness. It can quite suddenly revert to fear, where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful, must the body serve the purpose given. But we can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think that it is for.
Yes. We can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think it is for. You know, the kindest way, if you get lost in, say, you know, a park or a jungle or something, the kindest way for you to go back out of the being lost is to go back the way you came, even though it may be longer, because you'll get comfort immediately. Say, oh, I was here. Oh, I recognize that rock. Oh, I remember this stick. I remember this creek. Your comfort immediately returns as you restore yourself back to safety and to happiness. This is something the body can be used for positively now. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even though there are quicker ways for your enlightenment and return to perfect joy and creativity, there are quicker ways, but they're not kinder. The kindest way is to come back the way you came. That's the kindest, peaceful, most immediately gratifying and warming and loving way to do it. And this is a way prescribed now.
Well, so are you talking about identifying that sentence that we read before? You identify the obstacles, the barriers that you have to love or peace?
Yes, the barriers you have built
those.
Inside you.
Yeah.
And you recognize the ones that you personally made to block your own awareness of love. It doesn't help to do Deborah's.
Right.
You do yours.
Yeah.
It's the kindest. You'll immediately feel relief
right.
from the things that have made your life miserable. Your personal life has been made miserable by your personal thoughts. So it's really good to work with that.
You know, I read a book when I was 11 called A Magnificent Obsession.
Uh-huh.
They made an awful movie out of it, but the book was good. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I didn't go to any churches.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and father didn't ever do anything that said you have to believe this way or that way, so I was kind of freer than some people to start with. But
mm-hmm.
So I learned what I learned from books. And so at 11, what you just said, I'm realizing, is now a block
mm-hmm.
to where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Magnificent Obsession, this doctor had this policy, if you came to him and said, I can't pay you anything, he would take care of you anyway. And he would say, I only have one rule, and that is, don't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't want his reward to be in praise from other people.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted his reward to be, I'm giving and serving, and God will therefore serve me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm thinking is, from an 11-year-old point of view, and the way I thought for a long time afterwards, was exactly what you just said a little bit ago. If I'm a good person, then I'm going to get what I want if I ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're after here.
That would be level confusion once again.
Yeah.
And the world would say, and promise you even, that if you try harder, you'll do better. If you get wealthier, then you'll be happier. Or healthier, you'll be happier. Or smarter, get another degree, then you'll be happy. Says the world. But we can go find the healthiest, wealthiest, and wisest people on the planet, and they're committing suicide, killing each other, on drugs. Happiness is not to be found in the world that way.
And I'm not sure if it was my ego or what, but it got me confused, because when I would ask for something after I thought I'd been serving, I would always get it. But mm-hmm. what I usually asked for was for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, it's okay. I don't really need that anyway. I just want somebody else to have what they want.
Sure. That's a method to reflect love and see it. And once you see that it's real, that desire inside you is for their happiness and that they deserve it, you want it for them,
mm-hmm.
that will leak back to you. And you will start...
It makes me feel good.
What makes you feel good? That's a nice super benefit. And because that's how love feels. But there's also a teaching going on. A teaching learning going on. That as you help another,
mm-hmm.
and you believe that this is love, good, just, even.
Just.
We don't even know Allie's last name. We don't know where she comes from. We don't know how much time she spent in jail. We know nothing about her. However, we can look at her now. Would you look at her now? Would everybody here, is everybody here willing to bless her for the next week?
Absolutely.
7 days straight, Allie sleeps well. 7 days straight, Allie feels confident. Would that be good? Would you give that to her? Would you be willing to give that to her, Conrad? You don't even know her.
Do I have that power?
Just, are you willing?
Yeah.
Would you like that for her to be at peace for a week and things just generally go right? Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes, and I am too, and I really do. I really want that to happen for her. I have no idea where she goes for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want her to be at peace. This is honest. This is really honest. My heart says, God, if I could do that. Conrad says, how? God, I want to. Show me the button. The fact is, we can say that for each of us. And we would all wish that Jay has just as good a week as Allie. Please, Jay, would you have a great week? 7 days straight, nonstop. Just great! Right?
The first thing I think is I'll totally fuck that up.
We're doing it for you.
I know.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah. See? Like, because the internal doubt. If you had to do it on your own,
it'd be a failure. Yeah.
Because of how close we are to us,
mm-hmm.
our addiction to our problems.
Yep.
The Course calls it your personal private hell.
Mm-hmm.
the expected outcome that someone would. But that's their choice, and if they choose to be at peace, right? You can wish or.
Jay's can make his life hell, no problem. Probably did last week, am I right?
I'm so good at it.
He's good at it! However, each of us can donate goodwill to his week. Yes?
And when he's ready to receive
it. What happens to you when you wish him a good week? Carmen, what's it feel like?
Good.
It feels good! You know why it feels good? Because that is good. That's what we all want. All
of us have. Why would a person not want to wish that on a person?
Why would a person not?
Because you hate the person. That's one reason.
Well, she, Luann, is learning that when she is willing to wish her neighbor, who's costing her now more money and legal bills and everything else, who knows what, she learns that when she wishes him a good night's sleep, she feels better.
Yep.
What's going on there? This is a part of your spiritual awakening, is to see, is to feel the reflection back to you when you give. I'm not saying give money or time. That's way less important than what I'm saying now.
So, question.
Yes?
What if you, because I'm going to be honest, I have like father issues.
Yeah.
And then I'm divorced.
Yeah.
And I'm a single mom.
Okay.
So, I find myself that I try to help people, or not, I should say people, like my ex-husband or my dad, I try to do things to keep them in my life. So kind of like more abandonment issues.
Uh-huh.
So where do I find that within me?
Yes. So you're just following the program. You're following, everybody turn, did we finish our reading yet?
We didn't finish the paragraph page.
Okay.
Paragraph 3.
We're going to come back to.
Okay.
We're going to go back to the next section we're going to read. So let's continue. So we just finished. Did we even finish paragraph 3?
We did paragraph 3.
Okay. Very good. Whew. Yeah, right. Because we changed what you think the body is for. That's what we're doing with the Course in Miracles now, is we're harnessing your experience of your body, which just makes, you know, can make things miserable or can make things wonderful. And we're going to harness that with what was called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not the thing that you learn in Catholic school or that's in the dictionary. In this book, the Holy Spirit is part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. Closer to you than your own heart. Oh, yeah. Teaches you how to work with that. Teaches you how to work with that part of your mind that is waiting to bring the next miracle. That's what this book does. That's why it's so practical. Yeah, good. Okay, next up, who's reading?
Kenny,
are you up to this?
So, I would like to read paragraph 5.
Well, we can arrange that.
Instead of 4.
We can arrange that.
So,
yeah.
Would you like for me to do that?
You have to negotiate with your wife.
We'll talk later.
You're
looking forward to
our conversation.
We'll talk later.
I already got a background. No, okay.
We're just going to do 4.
The body is the means by which God's Son returns to sanity. Though it was made to fence him into hell without escape, yet has the goal of heaven been exchanged for the pursuit of hell. The Son of God extends his hand to reach his brother and to help him walk along the road with him. Now is the body holy. Now it serves to heal the mind that it was made to kill.
But you recognize a miracle has occurred. A shift in perception about what the body is for has occurred. Even a body that's in pain.
Well, is that talking about extension, this paragraph? Or, I mean,
yes, you will learn to extend your spiritual intention through your body.
Yeah.
Yes. You were projecting a separate identity before.
Mm, I see.
Yes. Yes. And now, a miracle would have to have occurred by 1,000 pages into A Course in Miracles. You might have a chance that by the time you get to this page, the miracle has occurred for you about what the body actually is. I didn't say who, right? What the body actually is encoded in here in a way that's not too scary. You will discover firsthand what your body actually is.
You know, it's interesting about reading this book and doing the lessons and this class is every single time I get a new lesson, I get a lesson about that lesson.
Isn't that great?
And it can be not even a spiritual lesson. It can be so we were playing a game called Pandemic, my daughter and I. And it's a cooperative game where you're playing against the board.
Yes.
And we were down to two cards left. If you run out of cards, then you lose. And if you don't cure all the epidemics, you lose. And a few other ways you lose.
Yeah.
And but if you cure all of the epidemics, then you win.
Mm-hmm.
So we were down to two cards. And if we had gotten... And earlier in the game, we were in such a mess that we said, we got all the bad epidemics right off the bat except the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the last one's going to be the last card we pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so Susan, who doesn't believe in any of this,
mm-hmm.
my daughter,
mm-hmm.
I said, so just open your mind and I'm going to send this message out that the last card is the last one. So we got down to the last two cards and she turned it over and the epidemic was the last one and we won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm reading this lesson and it's like, all I have to do is believe that my mind can tell me an answer.
Don't be fooled by the ego's manipulation of the world. Once again, you have level confusion that will trip you up and bring you chaos. Because one day, you will have done that. You'll say, wait a minute. All I have to do is ask the Holy Spirit if I can run the next red light. I'm in a hurry.
I'm never going to get a yes answer to that one.
Well, how do you know until you try? It worked with the cards.
I'm not going to open my mind to it.
It worked with the cards. It's level confusion to look at the world and try to have your spirit manipulate the world in any way whatsoever, including curing cancer. Yeah. Why don't you, I mean, right? Is this pill good for me or bad for me? Should I eat more kale? You better start asking on everything. This is not the work that we do with the Course in Miracles. Turns out that even a broken clock is exactly right twice a day. Perfect.
Well, I know it's coincidence, but I think it was wonderful coincidence.
I want you to be careful with this.
Okay.
Because
it was 50-50.
The ego... What?
It was 50-50. Because you were down to the last two cards.
I predicted it when we were practically at the beginning of the game. We had about 40 cards left.
I just want you to know that the ego loves this and wants to give you a superpower. Of being able to choose, you know, the right thing, you know, the right winning lottery ticket, or all these physical examples of how you could make your life better if only.
Kind of like when I asked when I was 11 that my brother, who doesn't know how to play baseball but wanted to finally get off the bench and hit a ball so he can get on base, and it happened.
That's right.
It still feels good.
There's a movie called The Secret. Everybody watch, remember The Secret? And that went around like crazy. Ho! Finally, somebody filmed how you can manifest a better life. They put it in a film. 10 experts from Australia.
A lot of books.
And books?
A lot of books sold.
Yeah.
Are still selling.
And the websites. And if you would just... picture it, you could have it.
Yeah, it just sounds like a fantasy when you watch that movie.
It's level confusion for what we're doing. Course in Miracles does not work with the world. The world is a dream of separation. It will always provide that for you. A course works with your mind. Even in the world, your mind can connect you back to love and joy and creativity.
Back on this on this paragraph 4, where the sentence, the Son of God extends his hand to reach his brother and to help him walk along the road with him. So
yes.
Is that talking about like oneness and compassion?
Yes.
And those sort of things that you develop?
Yes. And understanding.
And understanding that connect you to other people, that have you not be separate from other people.
Have you not be separate by force or by requirement.
Yes.
Or in order for you to be happy, you must be separate from them. After all, don't you know who they voted for? The ego loves that separation requirement. Mm-hmm. To understand that your brother is always right and yet his ego is always wrong is an invitation to translate and choose the teacher you would follow. Is it love or is it fear? You always have that choice. There is no neutral. You're never gliding. You are always choosing. Down or up. Always. But only always. With every thought. Yes. Well, that's good news and bad news, you know. Oh. Yes. Okay, where do we leave off?
We finished paragraph 4.
Okay, very good. Okay, so before we go on...
So on in paragraph 4, the second sentence...
Yes.
If you skip the first word, it would be maybe a story or your body. It was made to fence him into hell without escape.
Yes.
So if you stay with that same story...
Yes.
You're in hell forever.
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 That's right.
Jeez.
If you identify...
Mm-hmm.
Key word, right?
Yeah.
It's for another night, but identify. That's another meditation we'll do one night. Is your identity. If you identify with the body and with the world, then you are also identifying with what happens to your body in the world.
So it's saying that though it was made, meaning that the way you are automatically without doing anything before you become... awakened.
Yes, the body was dreamed up
as
a limit.
Yeah.
That's what it was designed.
You don't do anything, you're screwed.
You've already done. That's right. You don't do anything, you're screwed. As Kenny was saying, you're screwed forever. In fact, not only screwed, but forever. Yeah. That's right.
Just so long as you keep the idea, but if you give up the idea, then you're not in hell.
That's what enlightenment is about.
Right? Yeah.
That's what your spiritual awakening is about. Mm-hmm. Is to let go of the idea of limit.
Just let go of the idea.
Yeah.
So my neighbor's tree, 4 foot diameter.
That's big.
Lifting my driveway.
Oh.
It's like it took 30 years to lift it.
Yeah.
A quarter inch.
Yeah.
So if I keep thinking about it, I got a problem.
Right.
If I don't think about it, you know.
The world will continue to lift driveways very slowly when you're not looking. While you're here, it's lifting your driveway.
All the time.
While you're here, try and enjoy yourself at a decent meeting, and look what's happened to the driveway yet again.
Yeah. And my neighbor, she would hit on me for free.
Oh.
Hit on you for what?
You have to ask.
What?
You have to ask.
How's he been?
With this amazing.
He's been in hell his whole life.
It's not obvious.
Don't you know what hit is?
I thought maybe you were talking about coming over to ask you to do some work for it.
Okay. You ever watch the swagger Kenny's got when he walks in his tight jeans? I mean, come on.
I really didn't know what that was about.
Could resist.
Luann, you might think he could hit on you.
Who?
Your neighbor.
Who? The Holy Spirit.
If he hit on me, I'd be in real trouble because I don't really want to.
Okay, so I should read paragraph 5.
So read 5 for us.
All right.
Because this is it.
You will identify with what you think will make you safe.
Period.
Yes. Whatever it may be, you will believe that it is one with you. Your safety lies in truth. And not in lies. Love is your safety. Fear does not exist. Identify with love and you are safe. Identify with love and you are home. Identify with love and find yourself.
Yes. Thank you, Course in Miracles.
Okay, so then let's get back to my original problem. It says your safety lies in truth, not in lies. Okay, the truth is my brother and I, my neighbor and I are one as a child of God.
Uh-huh.
That's the truth.
Yes.
What kind of safety are they talking about?
The safety of the only peace you can have is to recognize the oneness, what you share with your brother and your neighbor. And this will bring compassion to your heart. And then you will actually start to feel love for your neighbor, which is all you say you want.
Yeah.
That's the safety that you can have here. Otherwise, Luann, and the only choice is fear.
Okay, so the safety that I would have would be knowing that we are one in love. Is that what you're saying? And the fear that I would have would be he might hit me with a 2x4.
You're going to lose something of value because of him.
I'm going to lose my body or my house or something.
Something of value. Forever.
But I, see, what I want is not to have that fear either.
Only way to be safe.
There's different types of fear, though.
Okay, now hang on to this. Are we on a page yet? You haven't gone here yet. Okay, everybody turn to workbook page 100. Where's it? 200. Yeah, it's going to be the 200s. It's in the workbook. Middle of the book now. Middle of the book. You're going to go to page 200. And 20. Let's go back further. Yeah, 216 in the workbook.
The prayer at the end.
The prayer at the end.
What? Is that what you want to
say? That's what I want you to look at.
Okay.
And who's up to read?
Me.
Oh, Mark.
Forgiveness is the key to happiness. I will awaken from the dream that I am mortal, fallible, and full of sin, and know that I am the perfect Son of God.
Forgiveness is the key to happiness, folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? Forgiveness of what? What would forgiveness buy you? Were you to really get what forgiveness can do for you? Well, here's what. You would awaken from the dream that you are mortal, fallible, and full of sin. That's pretty personal. And know that you are the perfect Son of God. In your awakening, in your true freedom. This is what forgiveness can do. But we're talking about some serious forgiveness at the core. Identity forgiveness. Of you being stuck in that body with the troubles that the body and the world bring. And what the neighbor could do to you. Or the inconveniences and the costs and everything else that has to do with living in a house next to somebody else's house.
Yeah, if you could let go of your fears and your grievances, your idols, and on and on. If you could see that, if you could see it and really let go of it, then what you would be left with is yourself, is really nothing, which would return you to yourself, which would return you to a sense of inner peace and happiness, because there would be no other place to go.
Yes. You have to let go of all of those things to the real you.
Yeah.
You do not have to let go of any of those things to the false you.
Well, what this book says is that if you let go of those things, then what is there is the real you.
That's correct.
Yeah. So you don't really have to go anywhere.
That's correct.
Because if you let go of those things, if you see those things and let go of them, which is forgiveness, then what is there is the real you.
That is correct. Behind the illusion is the truth. The illusion is made up. The truth is true always.
Yeah.
Your job is not to seek and find love.
Right.
But to remove all the barriers that you, inside you, have put between you and love.
Yeah.
The love is always there.
And the fear of your body dying is one of the barriers.
Indeed. Yeah, whole death. Death is a great way to punctuate the proof that you
are. The only thing that I need to do is to forgive my current thought.
Yes, that's it. Ooh, right in the present.
In the moment, yeah.
That's what you really need. Forgive your current thought.
I need to do.
That's it.
Forgive myself for my current thought.
Yes.
And the next one.
And then don't move away. You forgive yourself from your current thought. You just release. Maybe means release, right? Forgiveness means release in this book. Release it. Your current thought, if it's troubling, release it. And then don't move away from that holy instant, that free space that you get from releasing yourself. Not even, just releasing. Don't move away from that moment. And this is the way you walk through what we call door A. This is the way you actually walk into spirit.
So in there...
Very present. It's very, very present.
So in there is truth.
Yes.
So truth has got it's a lot of truths. There are a lot of truths.
Truth, you know what? You know, truth, Kenny, I got good news for you.
The truth in here would be self-love.
I got good news for you.
What's that?
There's only one holy instant. A holy instant is what we're talking about when you forgive your current thought. And that, oh, you know what I'm talking about. When you actually release and just check, just chill for a minute, and suddenly you feel kind of a hug from reality in the present moment.
And sometimes it's not a thought, though. It's, it can be like anxiety, which is a general kind of a feeling.
Yes.
Of, you know, that can be in the, like a cloud. You know, it talks about the cloud.
Yes, you know. Absolutely, Mark. Very good. Very so good. Anxiety, physical pain,
yeah.
Memories, anticipate, all those. When you release them, even only for an instant, that freedom that you feel, that holy instant, is the same. Always. Even for your whole life. Because it's a moment out of time. It's a moment out of time. You're exposing yourself to the truth. To the love from which you came. That's how you know what we're doing is real and worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. So do you have to, like, know what that thought... I mean, you know, thoughts come so fast.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
If you can just, like, you know, to forgive...
Yes.
Do you have to grasp onto one of those mm-hmm. thoughts, or can you just...
Nope. You have to let one of those thoughts go. Whatever one is currently up, whatever is right in front of your face.
And the other thing...
That's the only one that matters.
It just kind of keeps going.
It's like it's a train, right? A train going by with all these thoughts. You forgive you. You.
That's what it feels like sometimes.
But what I get from the book is those kinds of things that you were mentioning, Mark, all come from a thought.
What, anxiety?
Yeah, that's a feeling. It comes from a thought. You have to identify the thought in order to let it go.
I don't think you do.
Actually, you don't. You have to identify what you're feeling now, not from where it came.
Okay, so when I feel fear...
Yes?
All I have to do is say, I feel fear, and then what?
You would awaken not to what you fear, but to how you fear.
Not to what I feel. Well, I already know how I feel.
Psychotherapy is to go figure out what you're afraid of and how far back
the
do we have to go. The source of it.
Yeah.
To trace it back to the first time that somebody in a movie said that you're supposed to do this and your mother said, pay attention. Oh my God, it's a lot of work. It could probably work great. And all efforts do work, by the way.
Because it's a good experiment for me to not be in the world.
Yes, Kenny.
Not to hear all of this.
Yes, Kenny.
To stay here.
Absolutely.
With me.
Wonderful. Absolutely. This is all a dream. It's all a fantasy.
Yes.
It goes as fast as it came. It can't be true.
Yeah.
But you, on the other hand, there is truth in you. That's worth pursuing. And that fans a spark in you that becomes a flame that becomes this fire of truth in you
yeah.
never goes out.
Okay, so I have
that's your awakening. That's what it looks like. That's what the awakening looks like, by the way, is you manage to catch this moment, this in you, the spark in you, and then you kind of let it live a little bit. And you let a little more air on it. A little more time is the air here. A little more time with these freedom thoughts that you just described. it gets stronger. It's interrupting the dream. And this is how your awakening grows, because now it's more real for its presence. And thank goodness, the ratio is like 10,000 to 1. 1 second of this freedom is more powerful than hours of what the world would use to darken it. Mm-hmm. 1 second overcomes hours, days, years of trouble that the world has brought you can be dissolved by 1 instant of light. Key word in the Course in Miracles, light. We will be studying that at length. But that's what we're talking about. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's really good news.
And that light is the truth.
Light is the truth. Yes. Yes. Light is understanding. Here. Light is understanding. You give yourself...
Understanding, not the truth?
You give yourself the truth by understanding.
Oh, got it.
In fact, there's a great sentence here. It says, this is a quote, "This world is not left by death, comma, but by understanding."
And that's confusing for me.
Well, aren't you putting blocks in your own way to love?
Well, yeah.
Didn't we discuss that in the beginning?
Could I just comment on that? Because I'm doing this program, the 12-step program for Al-Anon, and I'm on step 4 where it says, identify all your shortcomings. And what I've discovered over the last few weeks in doing that work is that not only am I writing down a list of my shortcomings, but then my sponsor has me doing the good side of that shortcoming. And by doing that, all of a sudden my whole, everything has shifted, because I've been looking at the shortcomings and trying to understand where that block came from and going back. And every single time, by looking at the positive of that shortcoming, I found, it was a block to love. On every single occasion where I have a shortcoming, it was all blocking love. And then once I realized, the positive was that something that brought love, it washed it out.
Like that.
Just like that. And so now I'm not even fretting seeing my sponsor about talking about my shortcomings.
Oh,
it was
wonderful.
All good, because the wash was love.
That's great, Emily.
It denied, those things denied that love. So even as a child, when going back to seeing where it came from, it was because I didn't think I was getting love.
Yep. Now you can look at it again with new eyes. With new eyes, you can look at it again. That's what a miracle is in this book. It's a shift in perception about something that was a problem.
It was. But it was from a child's eyes. So they were, you know, built until, you know.
Yeah.
But then you see it and understand it.
Yeah.
And then you can...
Yep.
It can transform.
Yes, it transforms. It's healed.
Yeah.
It was sick and now it's healed.
Right.
You bet.
So that transformation that you're talking about is a miracle.
You bet. It's a miracle. Now,
it's constantly blocking.
You bet. It was a block. Now we see it as actually a way to help you back to love. The same thing that was a block, and now it's a way for you to see the love that was present. Now the job is not to repeat the old ways and keep using it as a block. That's what forgiveness is for, to release, release, release. Respect the love that is there. See the innocence that was there. Now there's no room for guilt. And everything's lighter. Yeah. Good. Very good. Okay, we're running short on time. So turn to page 438, and we're going to read a paragraph.
One paragraph.
Yep, because that's what we do here.
Yeah. Well.
438 in the text. And we're going to make some progress. So that the land... Oh my God, this is such a great paragraph. But still, we've been talking about this all night, so let's see if we can actually get to it. I think we can. Who's up to read? Deborah?
Yes, she's still looking for the page.
438.
What paragraph is it?
It's going to be paragraph 11.
Okay. The body is the ego's idol. Am I at the right place?
You are in the right place.
Okay. The belief in sin made flesh and then projected outward. This produces what seems to be a wall of flesh around the mind, keeping it prisoner in a tiny spot of space and time, beholden unto death, and given but an instant in which to sigh and grieve and die in honor of its master. And this unholy instant seems to be life, an instant of despair, a tiny island of dry sand, bereft of water and set uncertainly upon oblivion. Here does the Son of God stop briefly by to offer his devotion to death's idols and then pass on. And here he is more dead than living. Yet it is also here he makes his choice again between idolatry and love. Here it is given him to choose to spend this instant paying tribute to the body or let himself be given freedom from it. Here he can accept the holy instant offered him to replace the unholy one he chose before. And here can he learn relationships are his salvation and not his doom.
Yo! That's what we're doing.
Mm. Escape from the meat prison.
Right?
That's the nickname, the colorful nickname I have for the body.
That's
the
good.
Meat prison.
That's good.
Keeps me walled off from everything that isn't the meat prison.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a big job trying to protect it all the time when you kind of don't even want to, you know?
Yep. Yep.
But that's
it reminds you to keep protecting it. The body is the ego's idol. Remember what an idol is? Remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago? We did several weeks on idol.
Something that you worship that's separate from who you are. Like and something external.
You pick something external and you give it a bunch of attributes and then put it on the shelf nice and safe.
You worship something.
And then you...
Yo.
Yeah.
Right.
Give it power.
You give it power. You give it meaning.
Value.
The only problem is it doesn't give you anything.
Yeah.
It's just an idol. It's a statue. But you decide. You don't recognize how much work you're putting in here to try to have a relationship with an idol.
It's anything materialistic.
And it's a substitute for the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's an idol. Yes. So the idol, we spent weeks. I mean, we could spend way more weeks on that, right?
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, we spent 3 weeks on that one paragraph, but just idols, right? Well, we'll do it again. I think maybe we'll have a weekend seminar or something on that one. Mm-hmm. It's so key to Course in Miracles. So, the body is the ego's idol.
Yeah.
The belief in sin. Now, in A Course in Miracles, sin goes back to the original definition of sin, which is an archer's term, and you miss the target. Sin just means separating from what you wanted. So the book, sin just means separation. It means you miss the mark. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So the belief in being wrong made flesh and then projected outward. So not only do you have a body that suffers and needs to be protected, Jay, but so does everybody else. And whatever pains you think they have, even with your compassion, it's so terrible they hurt that way, Conrad. How unfortunate for them that they have to struggle with that. This is how you're describing your own plight as well. You too must now struggle. Were you in the same condition? That will show on your face when you go talk to them. Because you can't lie, we talked about earlier. The body does this insidious circle. This is the world you live in if you're identifying with a body. But as Mark was hinting at, as you start to release some of this addiction, you don't have to follow those paths. Even as you live this in this world, you can do so freely and without fear. That's our goal. Now, here we go. this produces what this meat prison, this produces what seems to be a wall of flesh around the mind, keeping the mind prisoner in a tiny spot of space and time. Remember, from the perspective of the author, this is all very tiny, this whole world. Beholden unto death, you're stuck with death, you will die. And given but an instant, what, 84 to 104 years? Is that what you're planning?
Yeah.
How many times around the sun? Is that what it is? You counted it up? It's an instant. He says, that's your life. That's what you think is your being? Says Jesus. Oh, we got to work on that. Oh my God, you think you're so small. I can't believe how small you think you are, he says. Now, given an instant in which to sigh and grieve and die in honor of the body's master, the dreamer. And this unholy instant seems to be life. Jesus is saying, he's writing this paragraph, scratching his head, going, God, you think this is life? Where you eat something else that died, and then you kind of walk around with that, carrying this body around. Well, only long enough to die again, like the thing you ate. Oh, you think that's life? Is that what you're telling me? I got news for you, Jesus said. It's so much different than that life. Yeah. I'm going to write you a book, in fact. I'll write you something to read. It'll make it easier. And he did. This unholy instant seems to be life. An instant of despair? A tiny island of dry sand. It's bereft of water, yet set uncertainly upon oblivion. This is how the infinite sees the finite existence of a separate individual person, a name and address, and only so many more years to go before you also die. He says, oh, wow, it's so limiting. You should be celebrating, though, as you read this, because this book is giving you to escape from these small thoughts. The ego would have you continue with this small experience, which is only going to be difficult and chaotic. And you know that because you've been there. But we can't awaken from that. That's why we have... This is what it's for. Here... Well, enough of that negative stuff. It just goes on and tells you how it sucks. And we've talked enough how we're going to unsuck it. So, very good. Let's have a circle.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're so welcome.
That last... sentence four...
Yep.
Here does this... Son of God, stop briefly by.
Yes.
So
briefly by.
Briefly. Wow.
Yes. By. Yeah. Elsewhere in the book, yeah. It says that you are actually safe at home. Yeah. See, you've dreamed of exile, but in truth, from this office perspective, he knows now the truth of you. You're safely at home in God, but you're dreaming of exile. This is the truth of what's really going on. That's why also why he calls it, another quote from the book, a journey. You're on a journey here in this room with this book, in your awakening. It's a journey without distance to a goal that has never changed. It's like a koan.
Yeah.
It's a Course in Miracles koan. But it's really good news. When you touch these words with your heart and you recognize how much support you have to awaken, through this is a bridge for you to walk on. These words in these paragraphs. They're for you to walk on. To walk out.
I'm on an area of the lesson that says first we worry about time and when we're finally finished worrying about that and figuring it out, then there's space.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's one of the metaphysics. Let's have a circle. Time and space are the same, so if you make any progress on either, you make all progress on both.
Can we talk about tough love sometimes?
Oh, yeah, baby. That's one of my favorite topics.
Tough love.
I'm a teacher. Special love around here.
Yeah. Tough love is great. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, I love doing that. Take a deep breath. You have just commanded your body to breathe. May it never command you again. You are in charge of your experience. And all you have to do to witness the power and the truth that you are in charge all the time is take one of the hard times, stand up, turn around, come into the present moment. Stop. Whatever you're doing. We used to have a gal came here for a couple years, Olchi. And we used to refer to Olchi's closet. I think you were here during that time. Remember a tall Olchi?
Yes.
She had a couple of kids, and she had a difficult absent husband, and times were tough. And she took this to heart, and she would say, excuse me, right in the middle of a really hard, there's Cheerios flying, there's problems with this kid and that kid. And she would go into the closet and close the door. Just dark. She'd take a breath. She'd say, how's this going to be good? She was just looking for the miracle. That's the best she could do. Her life is just sometimes so tough. It was only a moment. And she'd come out of the closet having broken the spell. Just because, how's this going to be good? Because it really looks bad, right? I need to go in the closet. Multi's closet, we called it. She would call for a miracle just by stopping. You must learn to do this. As difficult as things get, it's key.
It is key.
Is you just stop right in the middle. The more you do this, the faster it will go and the better you'll get at it.
Yeah.
But you stop. You stop and come into the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years of meditation in foreign countries are designed just to do this. So you can experience what I'm talking about when I say stop. It's really not that complex. It may take some work, right? But it's as simple as you can imagine. It's like this. Oh, just get present for a second. And then remember, lesson 34. I can choose peace instead of this. And then you shall have that peace. And this reminds you of the power of your mind. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Good work.
I know.
As we go through our day, as in the beginning, you won't be very changing.